Blog Talk Radio.
Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Touch Heal Relationship System, and the upcoming 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. So today I have the pleasure of speaking with Susan Brender. She is founder of SCR&D Communications, a multifaceted, full-service communications company serving Fortune 100 companies and recipient of the ACE Award created by Ted Turner for Best Program in an Educational Series, Teenagers, Drinking and Driving, a Killer. Susan has produced highly acclaimed shows for CNBC and MSNBC. Her credits include the Freedom Radio Network and the Wall Street Journal Report on WBIS. With her dynamic interviewing style, Susan gives us a backstage pass to meet fascinating masters of the art of living. She has left her innovative mark on an amazing list of artistic and communication projects, including the Isadora Duncan Dance Foundation in New York. Her current website and internet radio show at vforvitality.com helps people to enjoy richer, fuller lives by showcasing those who have actually done it. So I'm so excited to be speaking with you today. Welcome, Susan Brender.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the fact that you've invited me to your show, and I'm really grateful to you.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. Your background is amazing, so I can't wait to hear about your training, your education, your work experience, you know, what led you to working in the media to begin with and then attracting a large fan base?
Well, interestingly enough, I was educated at a very wonderful college. I mean, it was CCNY in New York. And when I went to school there, it was a very fine college. I'm not sure what's going on now, but I have to tell you that I got a great education there. And then I always knew that I loved people. For me, it was just a natural fit to get jobs that dealt with people, with traveling, with the sense that I can kind of be among people whom I would get all kinds of education from and information from. That's the kind of person I am. I assume that your audience would guess that to be a host of a radio podcast or a producer for television, that you have to have a certain kind of personality. And mine is, I guess I'm extroverted, and I love, as I said before, to be among wonderful people, and I feel very lucky, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you mentioned travel. Did you travel in the media?
Yes,
the media?
Indeed, I had a great fortune to work for Charles Grodin, and Charles Grodin was a very special man. And when I started working for him, he was doing all kinds of political shows and also shows that dealt with people on death row. So I had the great fortune, as I said, to travel all over America interviewing young boys and young women who were in jail, who were being on death row. And wow, that was an amazing experience for me. And so, yes, indeed, I did travel for my work. And when I worked for WBIS, of course, it was local travel, but that too was a great fortune for me because, as I always tell my guests on my show, that it's when you're in the media, you really have the opportunity to meet all kinds of people, and boy, did I, and travel, did I. And now I travel a lot with my husband, who is an engineer. And with him, we go all over the world. And it's just a great thing that I love.
Wow. But I'd like to come back to something which I wasn't expecting. I didn't know you did this. What did you discover working with these men and women or interviewing them on death row? Is this something you discovered from that?
Well, one of the things, let me tell the story of one of the people whom I interviewed as a guest for Charles Grodin, and her name was Carla Faye Tucker. Now, Here's the story about Carla Faye. When she was very young, she was raised by a mother who was a prostitute, and the experiences that she had as a child were just horrendous. And so when she grew up, her role models were people like her mother. And it was horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. So I suppose, although she didn't really admit it, that she was on drugs. And one night, she and a boyfriend went to another boyfriend's room in a motel. And there they hatched. Or if maybe you want to call it hatchet, I don't know how to describe that word, her boyfriend and his girlfriend, while they were in bed, they killed them. And she was put on death row. Now, Charles Grodin found out about this because Larry King was going to interview Carla Faye. And so he asked me to go to Texas. And in Texas, I got to the prison where Carla Faye was housed, and I asked the PR people to take me to meet Carla Faye. And it turns out that Carla Faye decided to say no to my interview. But I'm very steadfast. I persevere like crazy. So I said to the PR woman, "You've got to tell Carla Faye that I'm here in Texas with my crew, and I won't take no for an answer." So I went luckily, and I say this to you, luckily, because she didn't give everybody an interview. She decided to give me an interview. Now, do you want to know the rest of the story?
Yeah, this is fascinating. You know, how many people have met someone in that state? So it is interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, this particular case was a very special case because Carla Faye was the first woman to be executed, and I'm giving you the end of the story, but she was the first woman after the Civil War to be executed in Texas, and unfortunately for her, the governor of Texas was W. Bush, and he said, no, she's got to be executed. He would not allow her to stay alive. Now, let me tell you the story. So when I went into the prison, there was this very young woman, very, very pretty, and she was sitting behind a glass barrier, and she looked up at me, and I looked up at her, and I thought, oh, my God, could this woman actually have committed a murder like that? Just a heinous murder. And so I said to her, well, tell me about yourself. And she put her hand up on that window, that barrier. And she said to me, I know I did this horrible crime, but I've been on death row for 11 years, and I can only do more help than hurt. To kill me is a travesty, because the prisoners in this jail get so much from me. Please tell the governor to just keep me alive. And I said to her, well, you did this heinous crime. And she said, I know. And I said to her again, why did you do this? And she said, I don't know. She looked up again, and she thought, she said, look, I admit it. I know I did it, but it's just, she said, it's still not worth killing me, because I could just do more good. So that was an experience that I had. And I'll tell you later another experience I had with a young boy, but this is one of the most amazing cases. So it was only Larry King and I who did this story. And then we went back to Texas, the two of us, Larry King and I, and we watched the execution, and it broke my heart. Now, I'm not against killing when somebody does a heinous crime like that, but in Carla Faye Tucker's case, it was, I don't know, something made me feel that it was wrong to kill her.
That's some story. Wow. It just shows that even someone who's done a horrendous crime can also do some good, also has a value.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we have to draw a line somewhere. You know, someone else had their life cut short. Another innocent person. So what inspired you to get involved with the media to begin with?
Yeah. Well, as I said, I was a pretty extroverted person. And when I was in my young 20s, I used to produce industrial videos. And if I knew then what I know now, I'd be very, very, very rich, because I was one of the first people to get involved in cable television, producing shows and learning how to really make a show work. But at that time, who knew what would happen to cable television, and that, for example, Vision Cable became part of some company called Cablevision, and I don't have to tell you more about how successful cable television was. So,
right, but what I've heard from many of these online marketing masters, they say, don't be the pioneer. Because the pioneer is not the one who gets all the success and acclaim. It's the people that imitate, you know, and build on it afterwards.
Yes, and there's something to say about that, because it's the truth. anyway, so that's what I did. I produced and hosted a show on cable television, and then I did a lot of work, industrial videos for many, many companies. And so I got a taste of what it felt like to be a host of a show and to produce a show. And so then I had a lucky, and I call it a very lucky opportunity, because my neighbor worked for CNBC, and he said to me, how would you like to work for Posner and Donahue? Now, everybody knows who Donahue is, and I do I have to tell you more? I mean, I said, yes, of course I'd love to work for CNBC. And that was the beginning of my life in this wonderful job that I do now. It's a very rewarding and very exciting opportunity to work in the media and to tell the truth and to have integrity. That's what I search for and what my goal is, to be a very good host, to offer information and education that I think is well worth listening to.
Yeah, that's valuable, to have integrity about it, to try to get the truth. That's wonderful. So if you could use a word to describe your career, what would it be?
That's a tough one, very, very tough. Well, I would have to say that it's a really great, interesting, exciting life that I lead, and I have a passion for it, And mm-hmm. my passion, yeah, I feel that when I do something that people can use and teach them things that are very important for them, that I'm doing justice to the media. And so I call it passion. I have a passion.
Mm. Wow. Just having passion in life makes you able to keep going, you know, when things are tough. So mm-hmm. what have you done if things got tough? They must have at certain times.
Of course. I mean, I'm human. So, of course, things always get tough. Well, I'll tell you a story, and it's perhaps a little more honest than I should be, but here's something that I will tell the audience about. You know, when you graduate with a degree in sociology and not a degree in journalism, it's not very easy, because when you work for television, there's a style. There's the way that you have to tell a story and the way you have to script it. And for me, it was very difficult because I didn't get that degree in journalism. My degree was in sociology. And so mm-hmm. one day I was sitting up in the World Financial Center. By the way, I saw the World Trade Center fall, and if you're interested in knowing about that, I'll be happy to tell you. But anyway, I worked in the World Financial Center, and next to me was a very, very well-trained producer. And she, for her, telling a story, putting together a script was very easy. She'd finish in 2 minutes. But mm-hmm. my skill was interviewing. And so writing was very difficult. And let me tell you, I had to persevere like crazy. And she said to me one day, she said, "Susan, if you're going to write a story, do it this way. Think about the what, the who, the when, and then you'll be able to say whatever is necessary in just a couple of minutes." But for me, it was very difficult. So I want to say to you and the audience, it's very necessary for, of course, if you love your job, to persevere, to be persistent, to get help. That's the most important thing, getting help. Don't count on yourself to do everything, because that's very difficult. Help, ask people for what you need. That's my motto.
That's a wonderful question. Because I remember when I was teaching at my high school, I came in and I thought I have to know everything. I never asked anyone, so I always felt like I didn't know what I was doing. And then a new person came in to teach, and she kept asking everybody questions. And that was the first time I realized, oh, you can go and ask people questions. You don't have to know it all. So that's an important thing. A lot of people feel like they should already know what they don't know.
Right. Right. Yes, and I would stay very late, and I would sweat, and I would be so upset because I wanted to be perfect. And that's the other thing I want to tell the audience. Perfection, well, it's nice to be perfect when you can, but don't try to make everything so perfect that it makes you upset. It's unnecessary.
That's wonderful advice. So what would you say makes you different from other people your age, other women, other people, you know, over the years? What sets you apart?
Well, you know, I'm not a young person anymore, but, you know, age is a very interesting thing. When I look in the mirror and I see how old I've gotten, I say, oh, my God, where did the years go? But when I realize that I'm still the same person I was when I was maybe in my 30s, and mm-hmm. I try to do everything, I live for the moment. So I'll tell you that I love to jump out of airplanes. I love to drive NASCARs. I do hang gliding. I kayak. I do everything that a young person does. And I don't put any barriers in front of me. I just do it. And if I can't do it, I know my limitations. But for the most part, I do everything a young person does. Boy, do I feel good.
Wow, that's impressive. I don't think there's too many people that could say they do that, jump out of planes. So, yeah, I would like you to tell us some experiences or what you think has made you stronger and willing to take these chances and do it no matter what.
Well, that's an interesting question. I suppose there are some people who, when they look at their life, they get very worried and very nervous about things. And for me, I think, well, what do I have to lose? My attitude is try things. Don't deny yourself the opportunity to live a life that is adventuresome. I've always felt that adventure was part of my life. And so I just do things just willingly. And if I can't, as I said before, if I can't do it, okay, I stop. But I have this attitude, and it is an attitude. This attitude is that you have one life to live, and do everything you can to make it the most interesting life that is possible for you.
What a nice attitude. Instead of focusing on physical problems or whatever the latest little problem is, but making an adventure, looking for adventures.
Yes. You know, there is a guest that I had on my show, the Susan Brender Show. Her name is Tova Feldshuh. And Tova is a wonderful actress. I interviewed her 3 times, and she's one of the people who I admire the most. Somebody said to me, of all the guests that you interviewed, which ones do you, you know, love? They didn't ask me about love, but which ones do you admire? Which ones do you think are the most interesting? And she was one of them. And the reason that I felt that way is that she took a look at her life. She's not a youngster anymore, but she said that she was going to climb the Himalayas. She was going to do as much as possible. And when I listened to her tell that story about the way she leads her life, it gave me courage. Because let me tell you, it's not, again, for an older person, it's not easy to do things. But Tova said, don't deny yourself opportunities. Have a good attitude about it. Just enjoy your passions, and you'll lead a full life. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Wow. Just enjoy your passions. But know your passions. People suppress them. They don't even realize. They forget that they have passions. So I have another question. Do you have any new projects coming up? Anything you're excited about?
Thank you, Erica, for asking me that. Well, indeed I do. In fact, what I'm going to do is here in Florida, where I reside and also where I work, I'm going to be working with a group of young people at a place called the Spady Museum. And the Spady Museum is an institution of cultural and heritage for African Americans. And so my producer and I are going to be working on this wonderful project where it's called The Lion's Roar. And in this project, this project is about giving young people the opportunity to do what you and I do, learn to do a podcast, and also to produce documentaries online. And that's one of the newest projects that I have on my agenda, if you will, and it's going to start in March. And I hope your audience gets on my website and learns a little bit more about it. And my website is my website is www.vforvitality.com. And it's also, if your audience they search for the Susan Brender Show, they'll find on my website that I have so much information about this great project, and I would love people to discuss it with me. And so if they want to reach me, they can reach me at sebrender@yahoo.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. It sounds like a great project, because if you give people an idea of what they can do, they may not have had that idea, and you show them that it's possible, you know, it's amazing what can happen. Give them
a passion. That's right. Now, think about this, Erica. Young people, if they get to learn how to do a podcast and how to do documentaries online, think about the fact that they have to do research, they have to write, they have to read, they have to be able to interview people. That's not easy. I mean, you know that, and I know that. But isn't it a great skill to learn when you're young?
Oh, it's wonderful. And just think of how much they can influence all of us by bringing together their unique take on whatever's happening in the world.
Yeah, that's true. And there seems to be a tremendous amount of apathy among young people. I'm not sure how many of them get involved in politics anymore because the computer is one of the things that they seem to be just hooked on. And all I see around me is people on telephones constantly, their cell phones, texting, doing all that. But how much do they really know about the past? How much do they know about the history? Are they inquisitive? Do they want to learn? Because, you know, if you learn about the past, it certainly helps you understand what to do about the future in many ways. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. So you're inspiring young people to take on that role, and they can inspire other people. That's how it happens, because someone sees them doing it. You know, this is great. So I have another couple of questions before we end. How do you like to spend your free time? Because you talked a lot about work. You did say you're adventurous, but is there anything in particular?
Yeah. One of my hobbies is kayaking. I just adore it. I think it's great exercise. I think it gives you an opportunity to be among all kinds of nature, and it's just something that I love. The other thing that I'm now interested in is getting together with people, and I joined something called the Intellectual Conversations. It's a group, it's a meetup actually, here in Florida, and I'm sure there are many all over the country. And what you do is you share your ideas and some of your knowledge with lots of people, and it's just so stimulating. So, of course, I'm an adventuresome person, and I love to travel, and I've traveled probably most of the world. So that's first on my list. Second, of course, is my kayaking, and the third, of course, is stimulation from learning things. I love to do that.
Wow. Well, your conversation has been so stimulating. So I guess I'd like to end with what suggestion, even though you have made a few suggestions, what suggestion would you have for the listeners about how to live a really passionate, happy life for the rest of their life?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're a good example of somebody who's leading a very special life. You do so many different things. You write, and you host a podcast, and you do so many different things for people. Excuse me?
I said thank you.
Well, it's true. So I would say to any of your audience, I'd say, listen, follow your passion. Do what you think is right. Get involved. Feel that you have the opportunity that's endless. And because we're, again, very lucky people, and especially those of us who live in the U.S., what a place to live. Appreciate and acknowledge is one of the best places in the world. So that's what I do. I say to myself, well, Susan, you know, you only have one life to lead, and make it the best you can.
It's great advice. And just give your website one more time before we say goodbye.
So it's www.vforvitality.com. And it's also, I have another one, which is called the Susan Brender Productions, and that they can search on their computer, and find me on a number of different things on Facebook, and they can find me on The Susan Brenda Show. So please, everybody, I hope that you'll listen to it and you'll acknowledge the fact that it'll be great to help out with the new project that I'm doing, which is called The Lion's Roar in Florida.
Well, thank you so much, Susan, for appearing on my radio show.
And thank you.
So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 Beyond. And check my website, drericagoodstone.com, to get information about the 30-Day Love Challenge or to hire me to speak about healing through love, or find some books at amazon.com. Look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Thank you, Erica. I hope I did okay. I don't know whether I was repetitive or whatever, but was it okay?